Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Look today at the power of the gospel. This is the fifth in the series on the gospel. The power of the gospel, Romans 1, 16. Well known, I'm sure, probably by all of us. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Of Christ is put in some, of God is put in some, but it's most likely I'm not ashamed of the gospel, comma. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel. We are here because of the gospel. If we are saved, it is because of the gospel. If a person that we care about and want to have their lives changed is ever changed, it will be because of the gospel. And Lord, we pray for that fruit in our midst. We pray that you'd show us who will wield the gospel to the world, the power of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to Christmas morning, growing up, and you're checking under the tree, and there they are. Gifts. Wondrous gifts. Can't wait to play them. You pull them out, you tear them apart, you tear the boxes apart, and you get it out there, and you flip the switch, and nothing happens. And the reason is because you ain't got no batteries. Somebody didn't get batteries. I've gone out on Christmas morning when I was older. My cousin was over trying to find batteries. Nothing's open. And there's no power. The world views the gospel like a toy without a battery. They dismiss the gospel. And religion, even if it's true religion according to the Word of God, as a powerless thing. It is devoid of power. You've heard that, and I've seen cartoons where some wizard will walk up to a door and say, "Open sesame," and it opened. Try that for any of our doors. See what happens. Nothing. Your words are powerless. If you do it, if you don't open the door and you're with a bunch of people and you're at the restaurant and you're walking out the door and you say, "Hold on, I've got this. Open sesame." Well, you just made a bit of a fool of yourself because nothing's going to happen. That's what the world thinks of the gospel, that it's not powerful. Nothing happens. At best, even if you insist on a religion, and it is even a true religion, it's a personal choice. Very narrow personal effects. If you like it, fine. If it gives you a buzz, okay. But don't push it on us because that's not effective outside of what you think about it. To push religion as a requirement or a foundation for real solutions in the world is mocked. It's not going to do anything. What do you mean, pray? What do you mean, read the Bible? What do you mean have verses on building? That's not going to make any difference. That's the way the world sees the gospel. Just like you tried to hammer a nail with a plastic toy hammer, you'd be mocked for it. And remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 tells us it's exactly what's going to happen. Nothing today is as wicked as people are today. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Also written by Paul, says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." The message of the cross is the gospel. And to those who are perishing, it is foolishness. To those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, those who are being saved are living in reality, because we're told right here in verse 16, the gospel is the power of God. The world calling it foolishness, they're living outside of absolute reality. The gospel is the opposite of what the world perceives it to be. I mean, it's far opposite as you can go. The world believes in things that humans can do. And human power and human ability, that's the top of the power list. Get some strong man or some strong group or some strong company or some strong leader, and they'll fix everything. The world's optimistic it's going to happen. I mean, you got to give it to the world. They keep banging their head against the same wall year after year, and they think it's going to feel good at some point. But it doesn't. Today, much of our hope is, it's hard to even say this, most of our hope is placed in politics. Most people are hoping for a political solution. I'll remind you of Ronald Reagan's words, the 9 scariest words in the English language. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help. So you see, the government's not the answer. The government is given by God as a means of having peace in his world, not to violate his standards. And even true religion is looked upon as mythological. It doesn't have any effect. Star Wars has the Force. Have you tried this? Open Sesame, that didn't work. Try the Force. The Force is an unseen something joining all of the parts of the world. And if you're a Jedi Knight, you can move things, doesn't matter how heavy they are, with the Force. If you try that, you'll also be crazy, because that won't work either. But the gospel is considered like that. You've got the Force, you've got Open Sesame, you've got myths and legends, and you've got the gospel. That's what the world sees. The world has placed all its hope in man. So the first thing that Paul mentions here in verse 16 is about being ashamed of the gospel. And the world is ashamed of the gospel. And if you're ashamed of something, you separate from it. If the world considers the gospel to be foolishness, it separates from it. Doesn't want any part in it. I bet you got pictures at your house, some you put out in frames. Then there's those other pictures that you're ashamed of how you look in them. And what do you do with those? You hide them. They're in a drawer somewhere, or they're destroyed, or whatever. I've taken pictures of our daughter and show it to her, and she says, delete it. First thing, delete it. Because she doesn't like it. If you're ashamed of something, you get away from it. The world is ashamed of the gospel. The Pope is ashamed of the gospel. The leader of the Roman Catholic Church dismisses the teaching of Scripture on a regular basis. Behavioral specialists are ashamed of the gospel. Instead of seeing problems as produced from sin, they talk about how your parents mistreated you and how you need to get some kind of closure with that. The government is ashamed of the gospel. There are programs to counter the gospel message, and there are no programs to promote it. Schools are ashamed of the gospel. Basically, they say, get it out of here. We don't want it. Scientists are ashamed of the gospel. Have you read Genesis 1, they say? Oh, that's just such a folly. That's so stupid. You see, it's foolishness to those who are perishing. Businesses are ashamed of the gospel. And those that aren't ashamed are criticized. Chick-fil-A doesn't seem to be ashamed of the gospel, so they get criticized. Those who are ashamed of the gospel, they're okay. Now, counselors are ashamed of the gospel. Let's just talk and you'll feel better. rather than giving any concrete guidance from the Word of God. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. An increasing number of churches are abandoning the gospel. Social justice is being imported into churches these days. Some are trying to fix all the things that social justice warriors are complaining about and forsaking the gospel to do so. I'll talk about that at some point in the series, Lord willing. A lot of professing Christians are ashamed of the gospel. They don't want to come out and say anything about what they believe or about Jesus. Preachers, among the worst, most inexcusable abandoners of the gospel. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. I'm ashamed of astrology. I'm a Capricorn. There are horoscopes that I can read in every paper in the country, if I were to get a hold of it, that's going to tell me how my week's going to be. It is complete nonsense. Total loony bin that the stars have some bearing on our week. Hey, you're going to have a good week. Yeah, what are you going to do? Don't even have to buckle your seatbelt now. Your horoscope said you're going to be okay. It's folly. But you see, that's the kind of thing we're ashamed of, and that's the kind of thing the world thinks the gospel is. Folly. Foolishness. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God to salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. For many, many, many years, men stood on the ground outside at night and looked up into the stars. And they dreamed about getting there. Now, for a long time, they thought it was like a quilt with white lights in it, just circling the world. But then they started thinking, oh, one day we're going to get into orbit. One day we're going to be able to get off this world. And rockets was the way. And so that's what they used. The gospel is the power of God to get us out of our sin and into reconciliation with God. That is its word there. It is the power of God unto salvation. When things are broken, what do you want? Got to be fixed. We come into this world broken. We come injured. We come unable to fulfill our purpose that God has for us. We don't have the ability to do what God has called us to do, to be holy, to do what God is pleased with. I had a power supply in one of my computers years ago. It went bad and it started howling. And Cindy's not a tech, but she said, I think your power supply's bad. She was right. I knew it, but I tried to run it as far as I could, whoop, like that. And by the end of the day, I had another one installed. Because you got to have power. And the gospel fixes what's wrong with us. And salvation is what it produces. Salvation is the hardest thing for us to attain. You got a better chance of being king of the world than to attain the salvation in your own works. It cannot be done. And it's the most needed. It's the most broken thing in us that we do not have salvation. And God has chosen to save that salvation. And God starts it, and God paid for it with the works of Christ, the blood of Christ. And so the gospel is the message that God is seeking to be reconciled to man. And he's offering us the gospel, salvation in Christ. That's the gospel. Just yesterday, on the church email account, I once again was offered $2.5 million. $2.5 million. That was the offer. But it wasn't the gospel. Because if I'd have gone for it, I'd have ended up losing about probably $2,500. Something like that. It's a hoax. But the gospel is genuine. Because it is God saying, this is what I want you to have. This is where I want you to go. It's his map to lead us to him. He having provided everything that is necessary for us to be saved. And that's the message. You want to be saved? The gospel gives us a new heart and eternal life. We are actually changed inside by the power of the gospel, so that we're not like we used to be, but more in the image of God as he's made us, to do the things, not just to be, but to do the things that God would have us to do. I bet you won't go through this week without saying you want at least one new body part that's not doing right. You want at least one part. And while we're at it, let's just get a whole refit. A whole new body. Wouldn't it be nice to go to Walmart? Oh, I like that one right there. And you start over. You got hair again. You got energy. Everything works. Well, that would be great. But the gospel gives better than that. Because it awakens your insides. It gives you a new heart. The body, of course, we know decays, but the heart, our spirit, that's what God changes. Forgives our sins and our guilt. Reconciles us to God. Heals us of our spiritual corruption. Produces good works in us and takes us to heaven to live eternally. God works to bring that through the gospel. God opens our hearts to receive the gospel and to be saved. You go to a restaurant, sometimes they give you a number, and you wait for your number. And so there you are waiting, you're hungry, waiting, and finally your number is called. That's the gospel. In an effectual call, the gospel is the call. If you're to be effectually called, of course, there's a general call where the call goes out and the people don't respond. But the effectual call is from the gospel. The gospel calls your number and you respond. Because God alone can call and God alone can draw and God alone can save. John 3 tells us that we have to be born again. We have to be born of the Spirit. The Spirit is the third person of the triune God. The power of God to change us and make us new is in the power of the Spirit. And the Spirit regenerates us in response to the gospel being preached to us. It's a work of God. The word of the Lord is powerful in accomplishing salvation. Remember Jesus in his healings. He healed the sick, cured blindness, raised the dead, did many physical acts of healing. But the purpose of that was to show not only that he was the Son of God, but that he could heal our spirits. And when the Bible speaks of our condition, it talks about us being blind and dead and deaf. The things that he healed physically, the gospel heals spiritually. And Jesus showed his power to do that. We have a spiritual handicap. We're supposed to love God, but we don't. We're supposed to obey God, but we don't. We're like the handicapped person who can't walk upstairs. He just can't do it because his legs don't work. We can't approach God. We're responsible to do so because we've rebelled against God. That's why we lost the ability. But we still have the responsibility, but we don't have the ability. And God in salvation gives us salvation, brings us up the steps himself, restores our ability to relate to God. And the Lord does that. He doesn't need our help. He made the world out of nothing. So that is why Paul is not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God to salvation. I got a little bit of flash, a little bitty flashlight. It's like this big. I'm not ashamed of that thing. I'm going to tell you that right now. I flip the button on that thing. It's like the sun came out. It eats up batteries. Some. But, I mean, three AAA batteries? If I shine that in your eyes, you'd go, whoa, now. I like that thing. Paul says the gospel, just like that flashlight produces a bright light, the gospel produces eternal life, salvation. So he's not ashamed of it. But notice it's in back in the text, to everyone, for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. To everyone who believes. Having noted the power of God to save, Paul says it's for all who believe. This is where some people trip. Because we hear that God has to do it. We hear that unless the Father draws us, we can never come to Jesus. We hear that salvation is from eternity. God chose it before we did anything wrong or right. That it is by election. And it's by grace. And so, but people here, they go, well, now here's the, it's the switch. It's the power of man. Men have to believe. Let's just imagine I get a sports car. Or you can get the sports car. And you get in the sports car and you push on the gas and you can just absolutely fly. And you get out and you say, I know why that car went so fast, because I pushed on the gas. I've got in it, started up. No, the power is not in you. The power is in the car. And when it says here that all who believe, that does not subtract in any way the power of God who brought that. The gospel is the power of God, and belief doesn't shift that to human power. It's still God who saves. Believing is actually produced by the power of God. That we might be able to believe, that we might be able to respond, that we might be able to have faith, that is the gift of God. The Bible says that in every place. The responsibility is upon us. The duty to believe is upon us. If we don't believe, that's on us. But if we're ever to be saved, it's all God. Saving belief is not mere human choice. James 2 tells us that the demons believe. You think they're going to heaven? No. Their belief is just in facts. True belief is a commitment. True belief is a solid move from your will to the will of God. We can believe in vain. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians. Unless we believe in vain. A lot of people don't believe that because people believe in the power of belief itself instead of the power of God. But we can believe in vain. There were people in Corinth who believed in vain. They believed, but not unto salvation. But the power of God brings a person to salvation. That's what people believe in the end. Matthew 7 tells us there are going to be people there standing before Jesus at the end, who are going to say, Lord, I believed. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, notice, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Left to our own power, we're cast aside. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. When the Father draws us, as Jesus says he does, that no one can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. That is what God does, is he draws us to believe. When we are drawn by the Father, we believe. Our hearts are opened. Believing means surrender, commitment. It's not just a believing of the facts. It means you believe how awful your sin is. You believe how utterly hopeless you are to save yourself. You believe Jesus alone will save you, and it means you'll come to Christ and repent and place your faith in him. Acts chapter 2 tells us, shows us, when Peter preached, there was no price too high for those who were convicted of their sin. Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, he's closing up here, his sermon. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And that statement was the end of what put them outside of the favor of God. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, unsaid in that is, we will do anything to be saved. Tell us what to do. And Peter said, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And those he called by the gospel were saved. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Gladly is not in all the text. They received the word. They believed. The power of the gospel awakened them to their sin. They were religious people. Awakened them to their sin and drew them to repentance and faith, and they trusted Christ. Baptism was just the outward sign of that, the outward commitment to it. If you get baptized in India, for example, you are coming out and saying that you're a Christian, and you expose yourself then to the ridicule of a Hindu-dominated world. But when you are a Christian, you come out and you say, I am a Christian. Baptism is the sign of that. Baptism does not have any part of your salvation. It is a testimony that you are saved. And it was incorporated in the preaching of the gospel because that is what true faith is. It is a public thing. And then he goes on in Romans 1. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Which means for the whole world. People have solutions for problems in certain countries, problems in certain states, problems in certain cities, problems in certain homes, and personal problems. So that we need a solution for all of these problems. And the Bible tells us that the gospel will save everyone who believes. The Jew first, because they got the oracles of God first, and the Gentiles after, and that was part of the blessing to Abraham, that in him, in his seed, all the world would be blessed. And the gospel is that blessing. And that encompasses the whole earth. There's not a different gospel for Arab lands. There's not a different gospel for Muslims. There's not a different gospel for Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or Buddhists. It's for everyone who believes will have salvation. Everyone who believes and comes to God through Christ will be saved. There's no accommodation to societal norms or current fads. We don't have to tailor the gospel to make it in some way more relevant. The gospel is the gospel. It's already relevant. We don't have to water it down for sensitive people. We don't have to back off of the conviction part because people are sensitive. The gospel is the gospel. Conviction gets you through it. Whereas people who won't face that gospel, they hold on to their sins and all the problems that it brings. It's powerful to save the whole world. The gospel does not need an upgrade. It's the same gospel. It doesn't need to be edited. It doesn't need to be in some way remanufactured so that the world might receive it. Name any place and any problem that that place faces, and the answer I will tell you is the gospel. Every issue that the nation of India faces, the problems that they have, the family problems, the national issues, the strife, the gospel will solve. Now, obviously, there are things the gospel does not address, economics. But if you are a saved person, economics is affected. It may not address sports, but if you're a saved individual in sports, the sports are affected. It may not talk about schools, but if the gospel is in schools and there are Christians in schools, the school will be affected in a positive way. The gospel is the answer. Because the gospel changes people. The gospel reforms behavior. The gospel promotes love. The gospel changes sinful attitudes. And so, why would we be ashamed of that? It is the power of God unto salvation. Luke 9 has an interesting parallel, I think, about this. To be ashamed of the gospel, Luke 9, verse 26, is to be ashamed of Christ. Jesus says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words," that's the gospel, "of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." If you're ashamed of the gospel, you're ashamed of Jesus. If you can't stomach the gospel, you can't stomach Jesus. If you're ashamed of Jesus, Jesus will be ashamed of you. I've had some pretty gnarly rakes in my day. You know how those rakes that rake leaves, how they get kind of twisted up and that tine will go up there like that, and then it looks awful. And I've had to rake sometime. Thankfully, Cindy does most of the raking these days. I've had to use some bad rakes. But you know, what are you going to do? You got a rake that doesn't have its full set of teeth. You got rakes that need to go to the dentist. But what do? You can't talk the leaves into the bag. You've got to haul them off with a rake. You rake them. And the gospel, not broken. The gospel accomplishes the goal, so we can't be ashamed of it. All that the world craves, into racism, less crime. I want to know what my purpose is in life. I want to get off of these drugs I'm on. The gospel, in changing the heart, affects every bit of that. Everything you want in your life today, the gospel is the power of God to produce. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation means you're saved. If you're out in the ocean and there is not a ship in sight, And there you are on your little life raft or life saver or life preserver. And what is your goal? What are you thinking about? Supper? I wonder if there are any seashells around here. Are you hoping to get a nice tan while you're drifting out to sea? One thing you want in your whole life, one thing you want to be S-A-V-E-D, saved. And when the gospel ship pulls up to you, that is the ship you're getting on. Because it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've given us a great commission, but given us a loaded weapon to carry it forth. Not a destructive weapon, but a healing, powerful weapon in the gospel. And may we believe it, and may we hold to it, and never be ashamed of it. In Jesus' name.